appreciate all of you listening in, wherever you may be listening from. YouTube Live. Got people over on, where else we got? Spreaker. All right. That's great. That's great. Yeah, well, not on Spreaker today. Not on Spreaker today. There was some, we have some new stuff that we're working out, getting it attached to Spreaker to be able to use that more in conjunction with what we're doing here. So we'll not be over on Spreaker today. So this show will not show up on SoundCloud. So stay tuned. Just so you know, for those of you who are listening and watching today, the shows, the daily shows will show up on different networks depending on the day of the week. I know some people may find that odd, but simulcast and syndicated shows, we'd like to be on every network every day, but because of the restrictions of the certain networks, we're on some days and some all days. So Spreaker is usually one of the ones we're on every day. YouTube is one that we're on every day. Blog Talk is the one that will differ depending on if we have other shows slotted for that particular day. But either way, you can just tune in here. You can go over to the website. You can see here. We got some new graphics up here for those of you on YouTube. So head on over to thechtonsports.com. The website Listen Live link allow you to listen to all the previous shows of this show and the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, which is a Tuesday show, Tuesday evening. We have the CMT Firestorm show that's, you know, it's going to get a makeover here in the next few weeks. It'll be something different, but you can listen to the shows they have up right now, as well as you can listen to the Boxing Source, which is Sunday nights from 7:30 to 9:30, exclusively right now on the Blog Talk Radio channel, but you can hear it over on the website. Again, thechtonsports.com. All right, we got a packed show today. Three things I'm going to be getting into. One, first and foremost, I'm going to get into the beef that has become between, I guess it's a beef, that's between Charles Barkley and LeBron James, kind of created over Charles Barkley being boisterous and having an opinion. And LeBron James initiating it. Again, he didn't expect to get feedback like this, but he initiated with his cries for help on the team. Now, I had last week, we did a show last week. I did kind of take LeBron's side. Yes, he's probably the best feel of who he has. So I'll start out with kind of his defense on a little bit more on that, and then I'll explain Barkley's point, and we'll go from there. Also, in the second segment, I will highlight on some of the wins from this week, as far as yesterday's National Signing Day. And then to close it out, I will do a little bit of intro into the Super Bowl, which I will get into at greater length tomorrow, the last show of the week. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to broadcast from all networks and we'll have some of those kinks worked out. So bear with us here on the syndication. We want to make sure that we're available wherever you can listen. You know, that's big for us. So making sure that we make it all available to you wherever we can, we will definitely do that. I'm being told by the producer that this show will be uploaded onto iTunes and Spreaker, so you will be able to listen to this show on iTunes and Spreaker. So No worries there. It will be uploaded, but it's not live. So, but you can still download the free Spreaker app, listen to it there, download the iTunes app, listen to us on iTunes, YouTube, just about anywhere. We're working out some things with TuneIn Radio and iHeartRadio. So we want to get the show out there wherever you can listen to the show at. Make it easier for you to hear us. You know, and that makes it easier for us to get our message out to you. All right, knocking it off here with the beef between Charles Barkley and LeBron James. LeBron's original comments were basically to this extent, you know, kind of taking voicing some of his concern. It, again, was with local media. It wasn't national media. It did go national eventually. Started out with local media, people he trusted, and it kind of evolved from there. You know, it's not uncommon to hear people have an opinion on something, you know, but an opinion that is outside of what maybe most people are willing to talk about and spot on is something that's rather rare. All right. Just to kind of take a look at, I got some stuff here. So this is looking at side by side between LeBron's team in 2015, 2016, and their team now. I say LeBron's team because in the media, he has made this his team. Let's not blame the media for saying, you know, putting LeBron James so much on this pedestal in this case. He's kind of brought the pedestal to himself, and yeah, that's the way he's communicated it. But from last year's team, Dante Jones, shooting guard, played one game. 13 points. He was up there. Again, that was the only game he played in. Not a big difference. The other one, Mo Williams, averaged 2.8 games over the course of 41 games in the season. Half the season. That differential in points has been more than absorbed by the increased scoring of Kyrie and Kevin Love. Okay, so that was their, again, points per game. J.R. Smith, last season, 12.4 points per game, coming off the bench, still playing 77 minutes, playing 77 games, averaging 30.7 minutes per game. This year, he is only averaging a little over half that, 8.6, and with 28.9 minutes a game. So he's playing less minutes and significantly less points. And his efficiency numbers last year, he was a 12.4, which is pretty good. It's decent. And this year he's a 7.8. The guy that LeBron wanted and got is less efficient. Kyrie, a little more efficient this year. He's played in so far. Again, we're only halfway through. He's played in almost as many games as he has last year. At this point, when I pulled these yesterday, he played in 42 games this year and 53 last year. So it's a pretty good comparison at the midway point. He was averaging 19.6, efficiency number of 19.1. Again, I'm not big on stats, but I want to go over these to kind of compare what the two teams were. So what he had last year, again, and Matthew Dellavedova, you know, that was giving him a solid 24 24.6 minutes a night. You know, he was bringing in 4 assists. One of the top assist people, second in assists on the team, only to Kyrie. And again, that's some of the ball movement that LeBron is talking about. 7.5 points a game, not a bunch, but he's bringing in something there. He was fairly efficient at 11.3. He was as efficient as J.R. Smith for the most part. His shooting percentages, I mean, if we look at Dellavedova, I mean, shot 40%, over 40.5% on field goals. He's at 41% from three-point range. That's pretty good. That's something that you could say that they miss this year, that sort of production. You know, from last year to this year, they can miss that sort of production. DeAndre Liggins, that's not a big miss. He's given almost 3 points a game. Wasn't all that efficient. Chris Anderson, Liggins this year, they added. That's not something, you know, last year, a guy in his position would be like Jared Cunningham. About the same amount of points. So they pretty much evened each other out. This year they got Chris Anderson. Again, LeBron wanted to bring in the offseason because they lost Anderson Varejao. They lost him in the offseason. Varejao was putting in 10 minutes a night. Again, not even 3 points, but was pretty productive. His efficiency number at 12.6, which is decent. And he was hauling in at least 3 rebounds every time he was out there. So that's one thing that they're kind of missing from him in some aspect. Now, Chris Anderson is giving them less minutes, a little less minutes, about the same amount of points per game, and bringing in about the same amount of rebounds, almost just as efficient. So we could say that Jared Cunningham loss was taken care of by DeAndre Liggins, and Anderson Varejao's loss was made up for by Chris Anderson. So we can kind of take those. Now, what our big questions are, Mo Williams, Matthew Dellavedova, and Timofey Mozgov. Again, Mozgov last year was pretty efficient for him, 14.6. He was bringing in a little over 4 boards a game and about 6 points a game. He has more of a presence there, averaging almost a block a game. So he added some of the defensive component to it. You know, you got a big guy like that. He can get out and shoot. Mozgov, he shot 56.5% from field goal range, and he shot 14% from the field. So, but he can shoot some of those longer shots. So that's the things that they were looking at. Now, free throw shooting, Mozgov was almost 80%. That's something that you got to look at this year. Okay, last year, the free throw shooting numbers, where's that? Free throw shooting, they were at 70, almost 75%, and about the same this year. But it's the players that they have in that are being, again, that's the team as a whole, about the same. But look at the percentage of difference. Birdman is almost 10% lower on those numbers. So his efficiency number is lower. And he is a guy that you're going to miss from a depth standpoint. So that's the other thing, depth. According to what I have here is the roster from last year had 2 additional players on their roster that they could rely on at some point, that they relied on at some point throughout the season. Again, Joe Harris was only 5 games, and Dante Jones was only 1 game. But again, they got some umph out of them, and those numbers help boost the numbers that they have. As far as a score, LeBron says they need another score. I can get that. I understand that because he feels last year when you have J.R. Smith scoring more, you have Mo Williams putting up 8 a game, and then you have Matthew Dellavedova lending you another 7.5. I can get where he's coming from. However, they're making up for that. LeBron's averaging 25.6. Kyrie's 24.6. Love is 19.9. So you got three guys averaging like 20 points a game. You know, Channing Frye, 9 points a game this year, which is better than his 7.5 last year. His minutes, he plays about 18 and a half this year. And last year, he was averaging 17. So a minute more per game, he's giving you about a minute more worth of production. J.R. Smith, though, in the other hand, he's playing less and giving you less. And he's a whole lot less efficient. It's amazing how in a contract year, they play so much better. Iman Shumpert was a guy that LeBron insisted on keeping in, part of their core. So here's the core, okay? So let me get you the core here. I mean, 12 minutes into the show. Okay, the core, just so we know, LeBron, Kyrie, Love, J.R. Smith, Shumpert, Tristan Thompson. That's their core, their six, the five starters and the sixth man, okay? So that's their core. LeBron insisted that they keep their core, and they did. Shumpert got an extension. J.R. Smith got an extension. Tristan Thompson's still there as well. So Kyrie, still there. LeBron, again. And we can't overlook the fact that this year, this Cavs team has the highest payroll in NBA history. Just let that soak in for a second. And like I mentioned on the other show, even if you take off LeBron's salary, they're still over salary cap. They're still in the luxury tax without LeBron. He's going to take his money. He's going to probably opt out and take money again. But, you know, you'd think that that would affect him. And he's like, I need guys. Well, that guy that replaced Mo Williams, well, you got Kyle Korver. He's averaging almost 8 a game. He's probably the second most efficient player on the team as far as shooting. So you got a three-point shooter, a guy that's a good three-point shooter. Yeah, he shoots over almost 41% from three-point range. And 40%. Like, he's pretty much a 40% of the guy. Just a little under half of his shots are going to fall, no matter where he shoots them from. And he's giving you 8 a night, you know? But is he the same distributor as Mo is? Well, we go over here. Let's take a look at the assists. Mo, 2.4, and Korver, under 1. So there's some of the ball movement he's talking about. But they also did pick up Kay Fielder and Mike Dunleavy. Both guys are giving 5 points a night, making up for the difference of Matthew Dellavedova and Mo Williams. They still have James Jones and Jordan McRae on the team. Those were Richard Jefferson decided to come back. He signed, I think, a 2-year extension at the end of last year to stay on instead of retiring. Still all about as efficient as they were last year. So my question is, if you bring back your same core, some of the same bench players, and you kind of upgraded with some of the players that you had last year, how is it that you're having so much issues? I don't think it's so much an issue with players, talent, or the core that they have, as it is mental. I mean, LeBron has been in the NBA Finals, and they've went 6-7 games pretty much every time for almost a decade. He's physically and mentally tired. He has a team with players that did it last year for the first time, went that far the year before that. Again, you know, these are players that, again, some of them feel like they won a championship. They got their contract. A lot of what they were trying to accomplish in their career has kind of been done. So mentally, there may be some lapse there. They had a pretty big loss, a couple pretty big losses here in the last few weeks. And it's and it's hopefully it's an awakening experience for them. So Charles Barkley's comments were not something that was harsh, so harsh. Again, LeBron James, I phrased it more as a cry for help rather than whininess, you know? Can it be seen as whiny? Yes. But he's finally legitimately speaking about what his interests are, what he's trying to get out of his team. And it's good that he's not biting his tongue. But when you speak, it's always going to be a double-edged sword, especially if you're coming from a place of perceived authority. All right. Everybody's going to be critical about whatever you say. You just have to be able to deal with it and manage it. Charles Barkley said, and again, he adamantly believes LeBron James is the best player in the league. He's the best player in the world. Does he want all the players? He doesn't want to compete. He is an amazing player. They're the defending champions, all right? So he's kind of saying, you know, building it up there. But he also said patient, whiny, all of the above. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they have given him everything he wanted. They have the highest payroll in NBA history, again, highlighting on 2 points that I just made. He wanted J.R. Smith last summer. They paid him. He wanted Shumpert last summer. They paid him. So that's what we're looking at here. You know, moving forward, his comments truly aren't too much different than what I said. But he has more kickback from it. I don't have a problem with the comments and criticisms of LeBron. I think they're pretty accurate. I don't define it as whiny, but you get everything you wanted. And then you're upset. Again, he was visibly frustrated after the game the other night, after he was notified that they did not get Carmelo, that the Cavs declined the trade. Whiny, I don't know if whiny is a good way to describe it, but definitely he's a bit demanding. And in a sense, he is coming from, seems like privilege has worn on him a bit more. Take that how you want to. I know one thing I never recommend people doing is your co-hosts, your cohorts. You don't want to belittle them. You don't want to belittle your coworkers, your teammates and stuff like that. And it's wearing on guys. Saying him and Kyrie and Love are top heavy. It's the only guys they got. And you asked for JR, you got him. You know, he was saying, oh, isn't he? Like, no, he's not the guy. LeBron said that he's not the guy. I mean, Tristan Thompson's upset. He said, you can't go out there hoping somebody is coming to walk in through the door. Play with whoever the hell we got right now, and let's win some effing games. I mean, if you're worried so much about your roster, your mindset's going to be on your roster, and that's going to be the problem. Think it is, therefore it is. So, all right. Yeah, this show has flown by today. I am not going to get into the Super Bowl segment today, even though that's what we had set up for. But I am going to get into the college football National Signing Day. So that was a big thing yesterday. Every year, National Signing Day. It's probably outside of LeBron James and his contracts, I think this is probably in any athlete's life, at least in this magnitude, where they have more leverage in their career than any other time. Any other time in their career. It's kind of crazy. And let's see where we got. Lost the window. My bad. Hang in there for us. With us. Yeah, pull me up the USA Today. You have the USA Today? I think one of the teams that really got good coverage yesterday, only three ESPN top 300 guys, but I believe it was 21 overall commits, was Nebraska. They came in 22nd. They came in 22nd in the ranking. They landed some guys out of California that people have just maybe didn't expect they could. They were running all the way up there till the end with some of the top guys at various positions. Wide receiver Joseph Lewis was one of them. He ultimately ended up committing to Southern California. And Southern California, I think, made a good run yesterday and closed out well. So I think they're a big winner. And I think what we've seen with Southern Cal is their emphasis this year and last year in restoring that front seven. Even after this, I think the best front seven in college football, looking at it right now, is probably the University of Miami. They got some good recruits in there. Mark Richt has been doing a good job of getting in guys. With that schedule they have, again, the National Signing Day didn't do too much to change the outlook for the team. For me, it doesn't generally do that for talented teams. You know, those average, slightly above average teams. It's not going to do a ton for you. You may have a player or two that does show up big, but for the most part, the players you have last year are going to be the guys you have this year. I think they will be able to do some things down there in Coral Gables simply because their schedule is a little bit more favorable this year than it has been in some years past. So when we get in more closer to the college football season, I'll comment more on there on that. Maybe even a little bit of tomorrow's show, we'll get more into the recruiting. So I know we ran over a bit today. Thank you all for tuning in to At the Half. Go to the website, thecht.com/sports. Click on the listen tab. Listen to all the shows that we have there. You can follow the Cold Hard Truth at thecht on sports. Our show, of course, you can find us on social media at To The Half. And you can follow me or hit me up anywhere at Matt Long Sports. That's all we have for you today. Be sure to tune into tomorrow's show where we'll get into the Super Bowl, and I'll give my clear defining pick who I think is going to win. That's all. I'm out.